You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
It's the After Party Outcast, Episode 7, The Damage Done.
Yay! Wow, this is a bit of a rip-soul ride week for Kyle, isn't it? It's like, good news, bad news.
Yeah, and pretty much what seems to be the apex of a downslide for the Reverend, who is just pretty much at this point gone full-blown bonkers.
Well, you know.
Yeah, the devil shows up, or at least in his mind, the devil carves a pentagram on his chest and says, fuck off, and to find out that you're about as impotent and flaccid, spiritually speaking, as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Your whole reason for existence has been proven to be pretty much worth nothing next to a kind of asshole teenager guy.
Yeah.
Eternal teenager guy.
A little problematic.
Yeah.
Great episode. One that really builds out the world. Directed this week by Lee Janiak, who did Honeymoon, which if you've not seen, is one of my favorite horror films.
It's wonderful. One of the only good alien horror films.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of alien abduction. Yeah. Alien abduction. Obviously, there's lots set in space. But,
and
like,
the thing about Janiak is that, as with Honeymoon, you can have a fantastical element and just horrible tragedy.
Yeah.
Deep personal tragedy. And that's what this episode does. It also, we now have a little more about why there's so many widows in this town,
yeah,
which we've never really dealt with before. It's why are there so many? You know, why is this? Why is Patricia a widow?
Because this episode could have been called Remembrance Day,
yeah.
As it is the thing posted everywhere. Remember the 29, and we see flashbacks from Kyle as he starts to remember what happened to him that day, and maybe some reason why some people don't like him.
Yeah,
partially there too. I mean, like, there was a big industrial plant. He used to work there. Said plant blew the fuck up.
I think it's a coal mine.
Was it a coal mine? Okay.
Yeah, because remember they're carrying coal.
Right. Okay. And Kyle didn't die because somebody else asked him if he wanted to take his shift that day. Interesting point to that moment, which we see in a flashback. Kyle tries to shake his hand and he pulls away like one of the possessed guys. You're like, well, wait a minute.
That's the thing. We're seeing that a lot at the moment. You're really seeing how common that is in this community, which also implies, well, why are they all, you know, why are we having this so much? Why did they want to keep Kyle there? And why was Kyle attracted back? And like, you know, how much? Because now we have a very real question of how long has Sydney been manipulating everything to not simply get him back to the house? And you know, the sheriff asked them once at one point, Giles says, why did you come back here?
Yeah.
Oh, my marriage fell apart. No, I know about that. Why did you come back?
Yeah, you could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And he's got no real answer other than it just sounds like it would have been a pain in the ass to sell the house and deal with all that.
Yeah. So one does get the very real feeling that as soon as he works out what Sydney's up to, Kyle is going to be pissed. Because a lot of this seems to have been about, you know, keeping him locked away for whatever it is that they want from him. But he's starting to realize, I think, how outnumbered he is, but also how that he is problematic for them. What he hasn't quite realized yet is that they need him for something.
And as well, though, as much as he is outnumbered, alliances are forming as Giles is reaching out to Kyle in this episode and going like, okay, I've kind of figured out you've got a thing that maybe you're kind of getting a handle on it now. And I have issues with people that I need you to figure out for
and
me.
And he's all, you know, he's depended on the Reverend to keep the peace,
mm-hmm,
in the metaphysical realm in the way that he does in the physical and legal realm. And now he's realizing that the Reverend can't do that.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, who can I use that's going to achieve the same thing? So his latitude to Kyle is now becoming a positive allegiance. And that's been really, really nicely played. I loved how they developed Giles as a character. Although, as this episode has proven, he has the worst poker face anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The fire chief and EMS chief, who's kind of had, like, I think previously had likely cottoned on. when the Reverend has them over for poker, like, oh, Giles just cannot keep it. You know, like, he's been overplaying his hand really badly. And this is the point where you go, no, of course the fire chief is going to work out that you know something's awry.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, yeah, you think, how did you get to be police chief anyway with your lack of subtlety? Because you're like, I think something's going on with this guy who's my best friend who really, by definition, like, trusts him by default, even if he is possessed by something, assumes that everything's fine. Boy, you sure ruined that fast.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, said same poker night, poor Reverend's sitting there at rock bottom, bleeding through his fucking shirt, not wanting to be playing poker at all, and this bullshit's going on.
Yeah. It also does seem to be that we continue the pattern of every time Kyle gets his life together a little bit, everybody else falls further apart.
True. And, you know, I mean, it's got to have that feeling of burgeoning chaos. But at the same time, if Kyle doesn't start narratively getting his shit together, then we just have a whole town just falling apart and nothing for it. So Kyle's got to be going up as everyone else is going down.
The interesting resolution here that, you know, he kind of gets back with Allison as Allison starts to realize, you know, she may not be as in the clear as she thought she was.
Straight up accepts.
Yeah, and that. Now, and you know, finally goes, you know, without telling him, goes, okay, I love you, I want to be back with you, but I'm the dangerous one here, not you.
Yeah.
Please look after our daughter.
I'm the
which
one
now
who
means,
should have gone away in the first place.
I mean, this is, so now we have, you know, guy with limited social skills who maybe a demon killer, maybe demon lunch, is now having to go full lone wolf and cub.
Yeah. I like it. I can't wait till he builds the super elaborate baby carriage with the spikes and
dude. That would
traps.
Be awesome. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're happy for Kyle in one sense. And I'm, as an audience member, I'm happy because boobs.
Yeah.
Just saying. First real time on the show, and it's Allison's, which I'm more than pleased to look at. Hey, you can't say that you don't feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on now. Mm. You've expressed how much you're into Allison over the past several...
Allison's been one of my favorite characters. And mm-hmm. Initially, I was a little worried she was going to be after the pilot, I was worried she was going to be a background character who might appear occasionally. And, you know, her arc recently has been great. She's been the character... Because all the other possessed characters, now we find out they really are possessed.
Yeah.
Well... Now we've got Allison. I mean, she increasingly is looking like the other character who Kyle got the exorcism spot on right.
Yeah. She's the one who didn't go coma as opposed to his mom.
Yeah.
Did.
So, you know, I mean, he did have to basically, you know, put her in a hospital for a day and a half.
Yeah. This is back when he thought he actually had to punch people for it to work.
Yeah. So now he's. Now the punch, I think the punching is now reserved for people he just wants to punch.
Yeah.
But we're, so he's getting a little closer, but it's like, it's her, this is about her understanding of what's going on. And I think this is handled fantastically. I really hope that this doesn't mean she just wanders off for a while, and we actually have an Allison, Allison's plot continues.
Allison gets a whole spin-off show. She wanders the earth like Kane in Kung Fu.
Picking up burning pots of coals with her forearm. I don't really see that happening.
There were some really creepy moments with her and her daughter in this episode, too, where she's like, how come you didn't draw me with a face? She's like, I didn't know which face to draw. I'm like, whoa. And then seeing, like, the mommy puking drawing in the back of the closet, I'm like, okay, this is fucking creepy. But those are the steps where she kindly, finally goes, shit, it was me, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, this has been fabulously done. And it's another example of this show knowing how to do a themed episode, which is about an individual character and bringing them up, and not making it feel like, I mean, much as I love Star Trek, occasionally we'll go, it's such and such's turn now.
Yeah, that's
they
very
have an
true.
Episode for this season, but this does it much more subtly.
Well, because, like, generally...
All it does is keep all the plots going and just occasionally changes the mix on them.
Yeah, no, agreed, where everybody tends to have moments.
Yeah.
But there'll be, like, maybe two characters with different parts of the story who are more elevated, which is, you're not flat out going, this is a this person episode, but like they get their chance for their high moments.
It's usually this and the first episode, and everything they do has an impact on other people.
Although, if you were going to call it who had the biggest time in this one, it's definitely Allison and the Reverend.
Yes.
Because the Reverend, who, like we said, has hit rock bottom, and the whole during the Remembrance Day, his already uncomfortable speech, and then pointing out Sydney in the street as the devil, to the town's consternation, confusion, and embarrassment, and Sydney just like... This is kind of funny.
and you've got the additional fun there that, you know, a lot of the town's just going, the Reverend has seemingly gone crazy at this poor man with a nice hat.
Yeah.
And yet, considering we know how many people in town are demonically possessed, or whatever the goo is, they're all going, yeah, that's awkward for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this was all very machinated by Sydney. I mean, why else? I mean, he must have been the one to paint the pentagram right there on the statue, right where it's on the Reverend.
Unless it's Bratchild.
Yeah, but how would... Yeah, that's true. It could have been Bratchild,
It could have been Gingerspawn.
But boy, like, that kid's even worse than we thought, if that was the case.
He's pretty dickish.
That's pretty bad. But if it's not Gingerspawn, then it's Sydney. Either way, this works out well for Sydney.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, the Reverend has hit his... Not only was he losing his mind, but now he's completely lost the trust of anyone in this town. The only one who's even mildly standing by his side now is Kyle, who their spat has kind of ended. And he's like, okay, I get it. It's all right. Come on.
I know what it's like to have nobody like you.
Now he feels bad for him now that he's hit rock bottom and every ounce of pride is just gone from him.
And, of course, now everything has fallen apart for Megan and Mark.
Yes.
Because douchebag, you know, has gone from, you know, first of all, she tries to pay him off. And because she won't do the one thing that he wants, which is blow him, he's like, I'm going to ruin your lives. So now not only has she paid the blackmail money, but also now her husband is going to be prosecuted for beating the hell out of some guy.
The only thing about this whole run of the story that bothers me is it appears to have absolutely nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah.
It is, of all the storylines going on in this whole show, it is the one storyline that is just so absolutely, like, off on its own. And they spend so little time with it, too, that I'm like... Are you just putting this in here to give this character something to do?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel this has to loop around at some point. There has to be some impact. Because if not, this is a very long way to just make Megan's life miserable.
I mean, the best I can think is at some point, Kyle's going to, like, have powers that explodes people's heads or something, and he's going to explode-y him.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, okay, so we sat through 9 episodes of them wringing hands just so Kyle got a chance to point his finger and zap somebody, you know?
Yeah, I do sense that it's not going to end well for Scumbag.
No, there's no way it's going to end well for Scumbag.
No.
Yeah, but either way, so far I'm just kind of irritated with the whole thing. Like, don't really, like, it's, like, a character, what's her name? Megan, who initially really liked a lot, now is just, every time she's on screen, she's just kind of dragging the episode down.
Yeah. She's not really going anywhere.
Yeah, and then...
I do want to know where they think she is heading.
And they started giving Mark an interesting subtext with following up on the trailer, but then just handed that whole thing back off to Giles, and Mark's just has nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Fortunately, because the case we're going to be taken away from him right now.
Yeah. You're just like, it seems like every time these characters have a chance of getting into the actual plot, they make a point of pushing them away off to the side. So I'm not really sure what their plan is as far as they go. It makes me think in narrative sense that they both have victim written all over them.
Yeah.
Because of how little they're trying to make them integral to anything else. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they're just saving her up at least for something bigger. You still, despite the fact they grew up as, quote, brother and sister, do you get the feeling that maybe they're going to kill off Allison and seasons down the road, he and Megan are going to...
No, I think another thing, that's too pat and obvious.
Yeah.
Because Kyle clearly wants Allison back.
Yeah.
And
well, but if she's dead, you know.
Yeah, I know. I still think that'd be like, I don't know, that feels a little pat to me.
Well, she's wandering the earth like Cain, helping people, you know.
With she is not
incredible
wandering
Hulk
the
music at no. the end of every episode.
Maybe Littlest Hobo.
It's like she puts in her samurai
down
sword
the
in the back. Dun, 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 dun. Thank you, Allison, for helping us
That's
save the school.
That's really more like the theme from Titanic.
No, no, no. That's the thing. The Titanic is the one theme with the singer person.
No, no, that was just, that My Heart Will Go On was just the closing credits. The yeah. Titanic theme is different.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but it was...
Actually, no, it's, the way you did it actually sounded a lot more like the Jurassic Park theme.
Well, I've never been known for my singing acumen. So. Or doing accents. Or really anything. I feel like the Reverend right now.
Did you watch some tapes of your failed exorcisms?
Did you come over to carve a pentagram in my chest, Richard?
I did not.